What is up, family? You're now on the Stupid Coop.
What's up, family? It's Jackie, and you are now on the Stupid Coop. How the hell are you? How you doing? How your mama doing? How your daddy doing? So I want to start this podcast off by letting you know that I've taken a hiatus from the podcast and several other things. You know how life be life, and child. Now, I ain't gonna let y'all into my business too much, but the world is literally on fire. We see mass flooding in Dubai. We see a genocide happening in Palestine and in Congo. And hell, it's a genocide right here in the United States. And so, like I said, I didn't have a lot to say, but I had a lot to feel. And I wanted to take some time off to make sure that I was taking care of myself. And so many people have been reaching out to me, like, where's the podcast? What's going on? What's going on? And here we are. Here we are, and I was going to record this with one of my favorite cousins, but she had some things come up, and I had such a fire in my spirit that I wanted to come, and I wanted to come talk to you all, and, you know, kind of keep you abreast as to what was going on, and I think the main thing that, with this intro, that I want to convey to each and every one of you is, first of all, thank you for listening and subscribing. Thank you for the unwavering support. Thank you for being you. And with that being said, I want to take this moment to also say that as much as I want to include people on this podcast, I have to understand that everybody else, you know, they have a life outside of what I'm doing. And so my takeaway from it is the show must go on. And sometimes you have to walk alone. And that's okay. That is okay. And those that love you, those that support you, you know, they'll catch up eventually. But sometimes sit with yourself. Sit with yourself, be with yourself, get to know yourself a little bit better. And getting to know yourself, for me, feels like how I would have reacted to something 6 months ago is probably not the same way that I would react today. So when people say, oh, I knew you, I know you, I know, no, you don't know me. I don't know me. I know a portion of me, but again, you know, things are ever evolving, or at least they should be. And so I encourage you to take yourself out on a date and, you know, whether you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, get to know yourself, sit with yourself, order yourself your favorite drink, whether it's champagne or whether it's water. Whether it's calamari or a vegan vegetarian dish, sit with yourself, enjoy yourself, and for me, that's the one way that I've gotten to really get into who Jackie is. And it's so refreshing, it's so liberating, and it's one of those things where I don't have to wait for somebody, like, okay, they said they're going to be here at 6 o'clock, now it's 9 o'clock, and I'm still waiting, and they text you at 10 o'clock, like, well, I'm not coming. Like, I don't sit here all this damn time. So I really enjoy those moments. I enjoy those moments, and I hope that you will, too. Let me take a sip of my water. So let's get into the word of the day. Let me grab my notebook from what I want. Period. And I hope that all of you are doing well. I know like I said before, the world is an absolute dumpster fire. And a lot of things are like so overpriced. When we think about groceries, child, fix it, Jesus. When we think about gas, when we just think of the overall cost of living, is, you know, it's not the best right now. It's not the worst, but anyway, just keep your head up. Keep your head up, ooh, child. Things are gonna get easier. Anyway, so let's get into the word of the day. The word of the day is renaissance. Renaissance. So renaissance is spelled R-E-N-A-I-S-S-A-N-C-E. And renaissance is a noun. And we know a noun to be a person, place, or thing. All right? Okay. So the definition of renaissance is the revival of art and the literature under the influence of classical models in the 14th through 16th centuries. Now, this is all going to make sense a little later in the podcast. You know what I'm saying? So just remember the word renaissance and the revival of art and literature. So let's get into breaking beauty. As many of you know, that is the industry that I work in. Luxury beauty, fragrance, skincare, all of that good stuff. And so I want to talk to you all about revamping your skincare routine when it comes to coming out of summer into winter, or summer, fall, winter. And so I just had a conversation with one of my homegirls, shout out to her, and she was saying that she was experiencing dry skin. And so I think the most important thing is, you know, figuring out your skin type. And when I say skin type, I mean, are you oily? Are you dry? Are you combination? So oily is pretty self-explanatory. Dry is also pretty self-explanatory. Because I equate dry skin with, if you kind of twist your mouth back and forth. I don't know if y'all remember back in the day when you knew somebody was lying and you kind of twisted your face or your mouth like, you lying. So if you do that back and forth and your skin feels really tight, even after you've moisturized, then your skin tends to be a little on the drier side. Where if you're oily, you know, it looks like an overproduction of sebum, which sebum in layman's terms is oil production. So you're looking a little too oily too often. And then combination is, you know, a little bit of the two. Excuse me. And for me, I get more combination. I'm a little more oilier in my T-zone, which for those of you that don't know what a T-zone is, it's from your nose to your forehead. So once you get to that forehead, kind of left to right. So it essentially forms a T. So I'm more combination. And then season to season, it also changes. So you have to be really cognizant of that as well. So when it comes to wintertime, for me, I can do a lot of layering. And so I always start off with usually a gel cleanser, gel or cream, where the gel may foam a little bit, where the cream does not at all. And so I start with those. Now in the summertime, I'll use a more of a foamy cleanser, because you got to think about all of the sweat and the products that you use. You want to really break those down really, really well. But I'm getting distracted. But in the fall, winter, I tend to layer. So I start off, I double cleanse with a gel or cream cleanser. And then I come out the shower and I have these cotton, pure cotton, I guess best described as like baby wipes. But their cotton. So they're a little more durable and a little more effective, in my opinion. And I get them from my Asian grocery store. And so I put my micellar water on those. You know, my micellar water essentially acts as a toner. Micellar water can also act as a makeup remover as well. So I do that and then, you know, let that dry for a second. And I may sometimes mist a little hydrating spray. Let that dry. Come in with my eye cream. Then I'll do my serum. Whatever I'm trying to target. Be it fine lines, darkness, or dark spots. Whatever I'm trying to target. So I use my serum for that. I usually like to have one that kind of is like all-encompassing. So I do that. Then I do an oil and, you know, just a couple of drops, pat that in, you know, all over face and neck, décolleté. And some people that may not know what a décolleté is, it's like where your collarbone is, that little region right under your neck. And so I do that and then I come in with something a little thicker, be it a cream. And this season I have this whipped shea butter that I've been using. And so I layer it with that. So I say all of that to say that you want to start with the thinnest product and work your way up to the thickest. Because those thinner products sometimes have a higher content of water, and water tends to evaporate. And if you don't have something a little thicker to kind of trap those products in, then it's kind of like you're doing yourself an injustice. Now, some people say that, you know, shea butter clogs their pores, and it may, I don't know. Some people use coconut oil. So, you honestly, I would consult with my dermatologist and, you know, use what works for you. My skin is not super temperamental, so I don't really break out a lot. During the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, I was doing a lot of experimenting with different stuff. You know, I've had face creams, eye creams that was $400-$500. But then I would also try stuff from Duane Reade, Walgreens, CVS. And one of those more inexpensive brands is CeraVe. And, you know, they have cleansers, exfoliators, eye creams. So, you know, if you're balling on a budget, then I would do something like CeraVe because it's dermatologist recommended. But then I would also, you know, maybe look on some of the social platforms and see some of the black-owned businesses, you know, that offer skincare. And support them. So I think that's all I have for that. If you have any questions, you know where to find me on Instagram. On a stupid coop. Let's see. Let me turn this light on, child. So let's go into real stories with real people. And I want to talk about Drag Queen Story Hour. And Drag Queen Story Hour is kind of fun to me. And starting at the beginning, I'm obviously gay. I'm a homosexual. I done been to my fair share of drag shows. However, the drag show that I go to as an adult is not the same experience when I go to a Drag Queen Story Hour. And I wanted to do it just kind of as a part of like investigative journalism. And I wanted to see, was there a stark difference? And there was. When, as adults, we go to Drag Queen Story Hour, you know, they're scantily clad and they, you know, twerking and doing the splits and coming from out the ceiling and, you know, pulling out all the tricks and, the, you know, the things and the things, as they should. But when I went to the Drag Queen Story Hour, and I had to do it because I saw so many, mainly right-wing conservative, like extremists, not only boycotting the Drag Queen Story Hour, but also being extremely violent. and bringing like heavy artillery, which was a bit concerning to me. And so I said, well, let me go to this drag queen story hour and see what's the uproar. And what I noticed is that we as adults, we tend to over-sexualize everything. We tend to think that because a drag queen is attached to it, or a gay person is attached to it, that there's some sort of like pedophile ring, or, you know, some type of demonic entity that's going on. And when I went to the drag queen story hour, well, first of all, the call is always coming from inside the house, because no, I'm not gonna say that there aren't any drag queens that have been arrested and prosecuted for being child molesters, but I think the world that we live in today, like, that would have been all over every single news station, literally everyone, because it would be their kind of like got you moment. But I always see the priests, the politicians, the bus drivers, somebody Uncle Juju, but it's never the drag queens. So anyway, I'll say all of that to say I went, and what I saw from those children, and I'm going to say they were no older than like 5 or 6. What I saw from those children was nothing but pure joy. And when I look through, the eyes of a child, what I witnessed them seeing was art in motion. And they see this big, colorful person standing in front of them reading. Now, the same way that the drag queen is dressed in an adult show is literally completely different from, you know, being at the drag queen story hour. They are literally covered head to toe. No boob showing, not too much a leg. The skirt or dress is below the knee. So it's very conservative as, you know, how they're dressed, because, you know, they're here to read. And I really want us as adults to really kind of take a step back and look at what we're doing. And I've had a conversation with a couple of people. They were like, I would never bring my child to drag queen story hour. And which, as a parent, that's your right. But I want you to sit back and ask yourself, why? Why don't I want to expose my child to art? Because you think that they sit, go see them same shows, Frozen, and, you know, all those little Disney situations on ice and in the parks, you know, Disney parks and whatever parks y'all get, you know, where you're at. And those people are dressed in a costume. So what makes it any different than a drag queen? Because essentially, they're all doing drag. Because when they take it off, they look nothing like what they did in that costume. So I want us to ask ourselves those very important questions. Does that make sense? And if it does, period. And if it doesn't, period. But, you know, ask yourself, why don't I want my child to experience the world as it is? And the world is ever-changing. And acceptance is becoming a thing, and it's not. And I want to leave this segment with anybody that is seeking acceptance. And it just doesn't have not, you know, just doesn't have to be in the gay community or the trans community or the non-binary community. I want you to accept yourself. As accepting as the world is, there is going to be somebody that's not going to accept you. And I want you to learn to be okay with that. I want you to be okay with that. In accepting yourself, you will be able to walk in your truth like none other. And as a feminine gay man, the only person that I want to respect me or expect respect from is me. And once you respect yourself, others, for the most part, will fall in line. And for example, I'm in Brooklyn, and you know, this certain part of Brooklyn, you know, it's a lot of, you know, gas standing in front of the corner stores and stuff like that. But I get my respect. You know, they holding the door for a round, like a round, because sometimes people can sense that aura of respect on you. It's almost like a pheromone kind of vibe. And they can tell when you don't respect yourself. And so I want to leave you with that. Now let's get into the crux and the business. First of all, let me see. Where is my... Oh, here she go right here. Is y'all standing on business? Because if you're not, you laying on business. But anyway, let's get into what this is really all about. I wanted to come talk to y'all about my experience with the Queen Bee. Miss Beyonce. It's the girl, Miss Beyonce, boo. Hey, me. I don't need to call him. Anyway. So, let's go back to February 2023. And they announced that Beyonce was, you know, essentially doing pre-sale tickets. So you have to sign up, jump through all these hoops, and then they had like these different categories. And so I was like, at this point, I just might as well accept that I'm a part of the Beehive. Okay, I'm fine with that. So signed up, and then I'm not quite sure the timeline, but I wake up one day and I get an email essentially saying, you know, the pre-sale is about to begin. So I'm like, oh shit. So now I'm scrambling. I just woke up. I'm like, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. So get the second email that essentially puts me in line for the tickets, for the pre-sale tickets. So I'm like, okay. So I immediately pull out my debit card. So I'm like, okay. So now I get into the queue, and the queue went really fast. It was like 1,900 people are in front of you. Then it went to 800. Then it was 100. So this is all like moving so fast. So I'm like, I just woke up, Beyonce. Like, give me a fucking break. Like, shit. So get down, and now it says you're in the queue. So now I'm scrambling. So I'm looking like, oh my God, where do I want to sit? I want to sit as close as possible. You know, reasonable, Beyonce, I'm not giving you no $1,000 and all of that shit. So I'm seeing the tickets in the 100s, because I'm not trying to stand up all night either, baby. I'm over 40, damn near 50. I'm going to need to sit down at some point, if it's nothing, you know, for a few seconds or whatever. So I see the tickets in the 100s. It was like 200 and like 30-something dollars. So I'm like, cool, let me buy that. So then I get to the checkout screen, and it said, do you want to do Apple Pay? Yes! So I ain't got to type in this goddamn credit card number or debit card number. So did that, got my tickets, boom. I'm about to be in the building. So I'm geeking. So we get there. Long story short, you know, I'm anticipating. I want to wear this, I want to wear that. Chad, I end up ordering a t-shirt off Amazon, cutting it up, bedazzling it. Now, I did spend a little change because I was in my bell bottom era, which I still am. So there's this black-owned vintage boutique. She used to be a stylist. So I went and bought these red, I tried on a couple of different pants, but these red, kind of red, reddish-oranges bell bottoms that I ended up buying. I think I probably like $60 for them, but I've worn those since then. Like, that's, you know, you spend a little money on certain staple items. So did that, And I was like, well, what shoes I'm gonna wear? I bought these cowboy boots. And then I walked around the city with them. And I was like, yeah, I'm not about to risk this. So I found some sneakers from, what's that called? Journeys. Journeys don't never let me down. Journeys since Kenwood. And if you know, you know. They never let me down. So I found some Army Fatigue trims Vans. So I was like, because I want to be comfortable, because I'm going to be dancing, I'm going to be up. So got that. So that worked out. And then, leading up to the concert, so now I left this part out. I was initially going by myself. Now, if you remember, you know, previous in this conversation, baby, I'm going. And whether you going, your cousin and them going, I'm going. I ain't waiting for nobody. So then one of my people hit me up like, yo, my nephew, he going to the concert. And he's going by himself. Do you mind if y'all meet up? And of course not. Now I ain't going to mention no names because I don't know if they want to be mentioned. But that's one of my favorite people. And so I'm like, okay, so we met. And if you ever need to meet up with somebody in New York and you on a train, either meet them in the first car or the last car. And then y'all can kind of, you know, finagle the time, you know, look on the app, blah, 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 whatever. So we met on the train. Boom, he get on. And before that, okay, let me rewind. Before that, as I'm getting ready, I'm having me, you know, a couple of White Claws. Because why not? I'm listening to the Renaissance. And so I'm drinking my little White Claws. So I'm like, well, let me stop at the store and give me a couple of little shots. Because it's Beyonce. It's summer. Why not? So, you know, I do that. Lo and behold, before I even got to the city, aka Manhattan, child, I had to drink all four of them shots. But I'm cool. I'm cool. So we get to the city and we gotta go to New Jersey. So luckily, and I call him my nephew. We gonna call him Nephew. So Nephew was able to, you know, finagle and tap on the screen and tap to figure out where we need to go get our tickets. So we go get our tickets, and I think we had like maybe a half an hour beforehand, or before the train left. So I'm like, well, I'm gonna go to the liquor store and get us a couple of shots, because again, it's Beyonce, it's summertime, why not? So get that, come back, we take a shot together, get on the train, it was seamless. Shout out to New Jersey Transit. And so we get there, he's like, you know, I gotta use the bathroom. So they had a porta potty in the middle of the parking lot. Cool, no problem. He come out, sanitize his hands. And so we walking up to the ticket agents. And I'm like, oh Lord. Like, I'm feeling everything hitting me in that moment. Now I say everything, I ain't gonna tell y'all too much, but you know, if you know, you know. Yeah. So I get there and I'm like, oh Lord. So the ticket agent guy, he was very nice. He's like, you know, I see you have a black and mild. If you want to smoke, you know, you can go over to the left. That's the smoking section. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you so much. But I say all that to say, I had bought me two shots of Hennessy. And I took one. But as I was walking up to that ticket agent, I had to throw that shit out. Because I felt like I was about to be that person that was about to get carried out. Now, for all my people that love a good cocktail, you got to know when to cut it off. You got to know. Listen to your body. So we get there, and I'm like, get past the ticket agent. So I'm like, let me get me some water and like a little hot dog. You know, something to sit on my stomach. And, you know, rehydrate myself. So I ordered that food. That hot dog. And that water in a cup with no lid and no ice was $19. $19. She said, oh, we ran out of ice. Ma'am, the shit ain't even started yet. Did y'all not prepare? But whatever. So as soon as I paid for that, did my little Apple Pay, I hear Beyonce say, "No joke, I love you." I don't know where my nephew was at, but I knew where I was at, and I was in somebody's seat. Was it mine? No. Did I care? No. So I went and sat there, and it was funny because me and my nephew had discussed this not too long after the concert. So he had went to buy some cupcakes, and I just went blank. And so the service wasn't that great, but I knew he was in the building. I knew he was safe, and you know, that was my biggest thing. But so I walk in, or run in, and I sit in this seat. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit here. But then I start going a little closer because I'm in the 100s. And it's like, okay, I want to get a little closer. So, you know, everybody is in the aisle. But here comes security. Like, y'all got to get out of the aisle. It's a safety issue, which I get it. So I went and sat back in that original seat. But I was like, well, let me walk around and see if I can find a closer seat. So I go walking all the way out, Beyonce singing. And I'm like a fucking red ant looking for some food in the middle of the desert. Like, I'm scrambling. So I get to this other seat, and this chick, she like, somebody sent it. I'm like, okay, calm down, babe. Calm down, cool it down, my pretty. So I'm like, okay, let me go back to my original seat. So I go back. I get interrupted. I get a phone call. I can't remember where I left off. So I went back to my original seat. And so me and that homegirl, we turned up like we knew each other. And the only thing that I regret was not getting her Instagram, because she was taking photos and videos and all of that good stuff. But I had a time. Then, fast forward to October 2nd, Beyonce releases the tickets for the movie. And October 2nd happens to be my birthday. Shout out to my Libra gang, period. Bang, gang, 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 gang. And so I was irresponsible. And I bought 2 tickets. Because I needed to see it. And the film was so, it was done so well. And when she came out with Dangerously in Love and Flaws and All at the cinema, I cried like a baby. And I think that I cried because those songs are so deeply rooted in love and appreciation and admiration. And when she says, "You are my raindrops, I am the sea." Or when she says, with Flaws and All, "You catch me when I flaw, accept me flaws and all, and that's why I love you." Ooh, child. But let me tell you something. That movie theater was dry. There was a lady that, and I went to AMC and I went to Alamo. I went to AMC the first night and Alamo the second night. And funny enough, I had a Alamo gift card that I didn't realize. You know how you go back to your email and search like AMC? Just because I wanted to make sure I had my ticket prepared. And then I saw I had a gift card. So I'm like, shit, I ain't gonna pay for no food. Like, we all said. And then with Alamo, I had accumulated so many points, so I didn't have to pay for nothing for that. So the only thing I really paid for was the ticket and obviously the commute there and back. But it was a moment. It was a moment. And the only thing that I wish Beyonce would have given us more of was the fashion. The fashion. Because according to Mama Tina Knowles, that Beyonce had about 150 outfits that she didn't wear or didn't utilize during that tour. So I was like, so where are those outfits? We need them, Mama Tina. We need it. We need it. We need to see. So, yeah, it was an experience. And would I do it again? Yes. Would I triple and double down dog on it? Yeah. I would do it again. Because I didn't get to see the greats like the Whitney Houstons and the Michael Jacksons perform live. And Beyonce is slated to be, if not already, one of the greats. And I'm just grateful that I've been able to be in that moment. And to anybody that is struggling with anything, live in the moment. Live in the moment. Take it serious. And find a way to relieve yourself from the stress. Take a walk. Stretch. Have a conversation with a stranger. And hell, have a conversation with your motherfucker self. But most importantly, give yourself a hug. And with that being said, I'm going to sign off. And I thank you all for listening. I thank you all for supporting. And I want nothing but the absolute best for you. All right? Pinky swear. Promise. Okay. All right. Love y'all. What's up, family? It's Jackie, and you are now on The Stoop with Coop. So I had to make a part three because I realized last night when I was recording that I left out some details. I left out some details as far as Blue Ivy's performance and the overall fashion of the Renaissance Tour. And so let's start with Blue Ivy. So for those that may or may not have seen the movie, Beyonce talked about how she didn't really want to expose her daughter to that element. She felt like she wasn't particularly ready, that Beyonce had, you know, checked off all of these boxes for herself as a performer, but her daughter had not. So she made a deal with her daughter, like, if you practice, if you do this, you know, then I'll let you do one show. So Blue Ivy being committed to it, which Blue Ivy is so well spoken, and I love that for her. Beyonce made the deal with her. Blue Ivy held her end of the bargain up, and so she allowed her to perform. And then Blue Ivy saw some kind of unsavory comments, if you will, on the internet. And I will never understand how bullying, period, but an adult bullying a child is just extra weird to me, like, whatever. So Blue Ivy doubles down, she practices, you know, she's on her cue. Now, if I'm being honest, Blue Ivy was, I will say, nervous. Imagine being 11 years old and performing in front of like 50 to 80,000 people. Hell, I'm nervous performing in front of 10 people. You understand what I'm saying? So to be on a scale like that and the dedication that she put into it really tells me everything that I need to know about her. And seeing her matriculation and her progress throughout the tour was so heartwarming because it was a testament to me that, okay, you might not hit it right the first time, But you have a second time and a third and a fourth. And by that last show, which I was supposed to go to that show, it was in Kansas City. It was on October 1st. And my birthday was October 2nd. But I didn't make it. We'll get into that at a later date. But by the time that last show came around, baby, Blue Ivy ate. She ate. And I love, and I feel like this is one of those things where she's really building her confidence. And who knows where she may become. She may, you know, want to follow her mother's footsteps. She might want to do her own thing. But whatever she decides that she wants to do, I feel like she's going to be, you know, obviously well supported. And she's going to be prepared for it. And I love that for Blue. And when Blue came out at our show, I went to the show in Jersey. I probably told y'all this already. Baby, the crowd went up. And it was so cute to see the little girls and the little boys. So I think they called them the Ivy League. Like, we got the Beehive for the adults, but the kids is like the Ivy League for Blue Ivy. And I think that's just so inspirational. And to see all of their little outfits and the excitement. It was just a vibe. It was a vibe. It was what I needed. Because, you know, like I said before, life is life, and child. And just for a moment to have a bit of escapism. And, you know, reality is going to be there, but, you know, with that little bit of escapism and being able to kind of like flail your arms around and dance and get to know somebody new. It's just like, I think what the Beehive and the Ivy League really needed. So let's talk about the fashion. Beyonce worked with so many designers, and every night, for the most part, it was at least one new outfit. And I remember hearing Mama Tina Knowles, saying that once the tour was over, that they still had about 150 outfits left. So my question is, okay, so I think Mama Tina said they had hired three or four stylists. So I want to know, because Beyonce had three stages. So as she was here, I'm going to say here in New Jersey, a stage was being built elsewhere. So then, did she have multiple outfits? Like, she had the same outfit, but multiple variations of that outfit. And was she sending that ahead of time? And, like, what does that room look like? And does she go in the day of and, like, you know, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm going to repeat this. But I remember the one show, I can't remember exactly where it was at, where the sound went out on, it was either Alien Superstar or Cozy. And so, you know, she walked off stage and, you know, they got the sound together. And she came back in a whole new outfit, which is like, when she say, I'm that girl, she's that girl, period. Your faith could never and will never. Anyway, that was the only thing that I really wanted to add to the documentary, was the fashion element of it. Like, were there some alterations that need to be made? You know, was she bloated? Because she not fitting this that night, so I'm going to wear this. Or, like, just so many questions. And what do I want to end with? My experience, and I might be repeating myself, but my overall experience at the concert was liberating. It was jaw-dropping. It was me in a moment that I'll never be in again. And I really want to thank Uncle Johnny, Beyonce's uncle, who, Uncle Johnny made my dress that cheap spin that she looks a mess. Anyway, who, if you don't know, was her uncle, who happened to be a gay man and who unfortunately passed away from HIV/AIDS. And so he was a big inspiration for this album. And, you know, with representation for our community on the rise, and the hate on the community on the rise as well, it's just nice to see that to be seen. And shout out to my homegirl, T.S. Madison, who really did her thing. Dark brown, dark skin, beige, fluorescent beige, bitch, I'm black. I just loved it. It reminded me of growing up. And I wasn't heavily into the ball scene, but I was kind of like ballroom adjacent. And to see the girls out there like full Vogue, and I'm like, are they knees made out of titanium? Because some days I can barely stand up without holding the arms of the chair. And they're out here just voguing down steps. I'm like, what is y'all ankles made of? Platinum? Like, they really ate that down. And I loved it. I loved it. And I love the sense of community that was built, you know, with this album. And I will forever be grateful. Beyonce has literally spanned damn near every genre of music. She's done classical. She, what was the album for? I think she did in Spanish. She's done rock, Afro beats, like she's done it all. And I'm always and forever grateful for an artist like that. And even to see Kelly and Michelle, Latavia and Latoya come together after so many years was really nostalgic for me. And I think it would have really been cool if they actually all perform together, but you know, logistically I don't know how that would actually work. But yeah, overall I give the tour and the movie a 2000 out of 10 in my Keith Lee voice. Shout out to Keith Lee, my Libra brother. But yeah, let me know what y'all think, and we'll chat soon. And if I think of anything else before I publish this, I'll be back, y'all. I'll be back. Y'all be safe. All right now.